Bauman?
Here.
Shute?
Here.
McNaughton? Moblo? Needhammer?
Here.
Nemechek?
Here.
Place?
Here.
Jeff Ross?
Here.
Monica Ross?
Here.
All right. We did receive communication from Nicole. Said she wasn't going to be able to make it. Excuse.
And there's Kyle. All right. I'm going to make a motion to excuse the Nicole's absence.
I'll make a motion to excuse Nicole's absence.
All right. Second. Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes.
A modification to the agenda as we have a public hearing and a number of people here are up to bat. Mm-hmm. Move those items up ahead of unfinished business on the agenda.
Thank you, Scott. All right. Let's move on to the approval minutes from May 17th.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for May 17th as presented.
All right.
I'd like to abstain. I wasn't here for the meeting.
Anderson?
I'll second. Also abstain because I wasn't here.
Right. Motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Nemechek?
Aye.
Place?
Aye.
Jeff is abstaining. Monica is abstaining. Bauman?
Aye.
Shute?
Yes.
McNaughton?
Yes.
All right. Let's move on to hearing citizens present on non-agenda items. We're here for it. All right. Reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. All right. What's working? Yes? Yeah. Let's move on to new business. Public hearing for 315 State Street, bed and breakfast conditional use permit. Scott?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We received a special use permit application to operate a bed and breakfast at 315 State Street from Gary and Anna Brim. The property is zoned in the conditional residential district, and bed and breakfasts are allowed as conditional use. All of the district for ordinance section 2968. The property is a federal lot, 63 by 158, and has approximately 10,000 square feet. The property is bordered by State Alley in the north and State Street in the south. Single family dwellings are located on the east and west sides. Existing home on the property was constructed in 1977 and has approximately 1,500 square feet living. They are proposing a 4 bedrooms for guests. Those would be in the upstairs. I noted in the checklist, there is a other bed and breakfast within 500 feet. That's at 305 State Street. And it was approved in 1989. I don't think it's still been operating as a bed and breakfast, but approvals go to land, so that approval is still in place. So it would be up to those owners, if they no longer want to operate, to rescind that in order to make this space available within that 500 feet. So.
Okay.
But with that, this is a public hearing for this application. The members are here, and the other public are here for the hearing.
All right.
One comment. The property was constructed in 1977.
There was an addition put on there, but no.
There are no records. There were records for when the property was originally sold as part of the Boyne Village, then the Village Boyne. But there is no record with the city anywhere. My sister and mom has been waiting for 3 years to find out when the house was actually constructed. Probably sometime between 1906 and 1913.
I would agree. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah. I wondered about that too.
Okay.
I'm
That was from the assessor card, so that was probably from the latest edition.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
And is the 1,500 square feet a true reflection of the size? Because that house looks much bigger.
It does look much bigger, but I think it is a pretty accurate. The bedrooms upstairs are all very even.
They have to be very small. They have four.
They're quite small. I would say that they're about 11 by...
Well, you have the... Because we went through it and measured, and
we really did.
And if the way that it's presented, do I have a floor? Scott, these are the owners?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, here I am.
Could you introduce yourself, please?
I am married to Gary. Grew up in that house. And went to school here in Green City, and my mother-in-law and father-in-law lived in that house, dead until he died, and mom until she came to Lansing to live in us, but has always come back and forth.
Other than the plan that you presented, is there any other information that you think that we need to know as a board?
Even though we definitely want to run it as a business, we also want it to be a place where family comes, and there are 12 grandchildren, and 9 of them are girls who grew up coming to the house multiple times a year, and we want them to still be able to do that.
Just a clarification, when she says 12 grandchildren, that includes my brother and sister, there's three of us, their children.
Yes, it's not 12 of ours.
Yeah. I understand. Not yet. All right. At this point, I'm just going to open it up to the public. But please, if anyone has any questions, or please direct them towards me. Also, please state your name and your address, so that way we have it on record. Yes?
I'm Sherry Hunt. I live at 318 North Street, so I live directly... Well, my house is directly behind you.
Yes.
It's been a rental.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I just had a question about parking.
Okay.
I spent last...
Oh, I'm sorry. If you direct the questions at me, and then I bring them back to you. Right now, it's just public comment. All right. Is there any other public questions, input? Yes.
Sure. Lisa Teal, 306 State Street.
Yes.
As a bed and breakfast, am I correct in assuming that they will be living there when their guests are there as well?
Okay. Scott, just quick.
Yep.
Definition of a bed and breakfast within the zoning?
Yeah, bed and breakfast, by definition, is owner-occupied, and they are the proprietors, and they serve the guests and treat the guests, and they're required to live there during this operation.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from the public? Okay. All right, I'm going to close the public comment at this point. And open up to the board if they have any questions. Scott, one of the things that was asked was about parking. What is the required parking for doing a business like a bed and breakfast?
The required parking is to have one space per one rentable unit room. They have four being proposed. And the site plan that was provided, they show four guest parking spaces provided in the existing driveway with some additional paving to be accommodated.
Okay.
So here's the plan. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4 spaces in the existing paved area with additional pavement to kind of.
Okay. There's no parking needed for the people living there?
There's a garage, correct?
And then sure.
Two spaces for the owners.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Questions from the board?
I have a question. I also thought the 1977 was erroneous. And if it was constructed about 1915, I have concerns over the mechanical and electrical, if it meets current day codes. I see that you did have a note that it has a new furnace and a new hot water heater.
Monica?
Yes.
Those considerations are outside of the purview of what you can look at.
Oh, okay.
Those regulations are all administered by the Shelby County Building Department. So they
perfect.
Have, yeah.
Okay, thank you. That was my question.
Scott, so the parking, I'm sorry, I was having a hard time figuring out where the parking fits into this.
So this is the site plan here, so you have 1, 2, 3, 4 spaces on the west side of that driveway. Those are 8 by 20 spaces, the required size for that. That pavement would be added to this area to meet the additional area that we need.
Okay.
Am I correct to assume they're going to use that as a through path to the alleyway from State Street to the alleyway? It looks like it goes all the way through, so there's. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It does go all the
way. And you're going to keep it that way?
Mm-hmm. Any other questions from the board? All right. So Scott, you were saying before that they would have to get confirmation that the other bed and breakfast is not going to be operating?
Correct. Basically, you know, land use approvals are attached to the land. So that license, even though it hasn't been operating, is still there.
Yep.
So the current owners of that would need to rescind that.
Okay.
Or to open up an additional spot within, you know, that 500-foot required area.
Sure. All right. No other concerns or questions from the board? Move on then, Scott, to the conditional findings. Is it possible you can go through this, Scott?
Well, I think, given we have no confirmation that the additional bed and breakfast has been rescinded, I don't see.
You can't really move forward.
Yeah, really can't move forward.
Okay.
Talked to the owner earlier today, and I think they're having a discussion. I think I'd like to talk to your husband.
Yeah, actually, that's our mom. We live at 305.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. I missed both 305. So, I guess what is your intent?
Well, we actually purchased the home because it was zoned as a B&B. We're not operating it currently, but we don't know what the future holds. But certainly, the pandemic has taught all of us that. And I don't know that we wouldn't operate a B&B.
Okay, so you want to maintain that?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
All right. So that kind
but
of.
But I was not familiar with the zoning rule that two could not operate within 500
yeah,
feet.
Yeah, there's a required separation distance of 500 feet. So this is obviously within that. So they could not approve another one within that.
Is it property line to property line or house to house?
I think either way, it's you know, within 100 feet.
Does that go the same for vacation rentals too, or is it just?
A vacation rental is not a bed and breakfast, that's a whole different thing.
But if one is currently inactive, wouldn't that set the stage for approval of one that would be active?
No. No. Like I said, it's attached to the property. It's a property right that they were given in 1989. It doesn't matter. It's not like a non-conforming use where you know, you stop, it's abandoned. This is a legal approval that was given by this commission, and it's there as long as they want it. They would have to formally rescind it in order to have the one here.
So at this point, the way that the zoning is set, it's not something we can do.
All right.
Any questions? Yes, sir.
Where is your home? Is it 305, did you say?
We bought the Holly Place 303.
303, I missed the board.
Okay, so it's two houses down.
Yeah.
Two houses. It's not the next door, but the one next door.
Yeah.
And then...
This is the house here, and this is...
Yeah. So, I mean, what are these folks' options? Could they ask for a rezoning?
They have to change the zoning ordinance. Basically, you have to amend the ordinance to eliminate that 500-foot buffer. Or they can request a variance from the ZBA, but you need to show some kind of specific hardship. And that's going to be difficult, but that's an option.
It's kind of a little overly restrictive, doesn't it?
I don't think so.
I mean, how many do we have even in the entire town?
I think it's only two that were approved since like 1989. So.
I just think it's overly ironic that you cannot allow these within 500 feet, but yet short-term rentals are proliferating all over without any restrictions.
Yeah, they can just run an Airbnb.
Bed breakfast are much less expensive.
Yeah. All right. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to make a motion to, at this time, deny this application for conditional zoning based on the fact that it already resides within 500 feet of the existing bed and breakfast.
Do we need to, Scott, would we even need to do that?
Yeah, you have the application in front of you. You have to take the action on it.
I've got a motion.
And the denial is based strictly on the existing ordinance
right.
alone.
Correct. I've got a motion and a second from McNaughton. Roll call, Pat.
Jeff Ross?
Aye.
Monica Ross?
Aye.
Bowman?
Aye.
Shute?
Aye.
McNaughton?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Nemechek?
Aye.
Place?
Aye.
May I have the floor for just a second?
Sure.
Thanks. I just want to thank you for your consideration.
Sure.
And according to the law, that's the way it is. So I do appreciate you being here for the city, and maybe we could just move up here. And but anyway, thank you very much.
We'd love to have you on.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, I'm sorry, but
no, sure,
it's
no.
The ordinance.
Absolutely, no, I understand.
No, we didn't know about the zoning and Sabrina didn't know that there was a restriction.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to new business, Allie, vacation request for Barton's Lumber. Scott?
All right, this may look familiar to some of you. Back in 2014, we received a request to vacate this portion of the right-of-way. Basically, the street goes from a 66-foot wide width up to an 82.5-foot wide, and there's that strip right in front of the Barton's property that was requested to be vacated. The city at that time, reviewed it, had no use or need for the property, and determined to approve the vacation of this. Subsequently, the appropriate documentation was not submitted to the state, the county, in a timely way, so it really never culminated. So we talked with our attorney what the best way to go about rectifying this, and they indicated that this goes through the process again. And redo it and do it correctly. So this is year for year for your review. review and recommendation to the city commission, and then they will proceed with their portion of the application.
Do you have a representative here for?
I think Mr. Barnes here.
Yeah, Paul Barnes.
Hey, Paul.
All right. So this was something that we approved back 2014.
Right.
And the city is still okay with it? Nothing's changed?
Yeah, we reviewed it at the staff level. We saw no changes in our review and recommendation at that time. So that stays the same. So
it's a really odd piece of property.
Yeah.
And this is behind the sidewalk, correct?
Yeah, correct.
I don't know anybody that would ever known this belonged to the city.
Yeah. Okay.
Based on the fact that this is mostly just process, I would make a motion to go ahead and make the recommendation to vacate the property.
Second. A motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Monica Ross?
Yes.
Bowman?
Yes.
Shoot?
Yes.
Naughton?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Nemechek?
Yes.
Place?
Yes.
Jeff Ross?
Yes.
So this will be going to the city commission for their first review on Tuesday.
Thank you.
All right. If it moves forward, then 3 weeks later, then
thank you.
Got a spot, good spot there to have a couple food trucks there, Paul.
I appreciate your time as well.
Thank you. All right. Let's move on to go back and move on to unfinished business. Future land use map.
All right. This is picking up on our discussion last month about the future land use map and updating that. As you know, there were some changes in the city boundaries. So other zonings that happened that needed to be represented better in the future land use map. So what I got here, my map's not updated. It looks like, a good way to accommodate that is to combine those two, the large lot and the rural, the residential open space as one of the large lot residential use, and that correlates more directly with the state district that we have in the district. So you can see those changes here where those districts were combined. Then the other changes, we're looking at the neighborhood residential district. And, you know, one of the major factors about that district is availability of infrastructure, you know, water, sewer, that kind of thing. So, and the existing lot sizes. So I overlaid the parcels and overlaid the water and sewer systems. But anyway, basically, the water sewer and the platted subdivisions are basically within that yellow, there it is. So you see the red lines, that's the sanitary sewer, the blue lines are the water, and then the parcel there, you can see the smaller platted lots within that yellow area, and you get out to the, you know, the large lot residential, you have limited availability of water sewer, and you have much larger meets and bounds parcels. So it seemed, you know, logical to me, you know, to incorporate all the areas with the smaller platted lots, availability of water sewer, into that neighborhood residential district, and leave the largest parcels without that availability as the large lot residential. And then there was some talk about State Street and mixed-use kind of development. In reviewing the ordinance, there are three different districts that allow mixed uses right now: the professional office district, the transitional commercial district, and the central business district. All allow single-family dwellings or multiple-family dwellings as part of that use mix. Obviously, those different districts kind of have different degrees of intensity of the commercial aspect, with the professional office being the least amount, where it's more of this, you know, a typical professional office for a realtor or a banker or insurance, that kind of thing, or a medical office, that kind of thing. Where you get to, you know, the transitional commercial and the central business district, you get a lot more intensity of uses, incorporating, you know, retail and a lot of other services and commercial aspects. So with the discussion of the current future land use map, there's a medical office district and a professional office district that are currently in the plan. Looking at our ordinance and looking at the descriptions of those in the categories, they're very similar and seem to me, it would be easy to combine those as one, as a professional office district. And that correlates more directly with our ordinance in the professional office district zoning. So that's how I would change that area. Then there was some discussion about perhaps extending, you know, that mixed use aspect down State Street a little bit. So I didn't show it here, but if that's a discussion that the commission would like to have, you know, that's something we can do. And then the other area up here where the city bought this property next to the existing DPW, that was previously a large lot residential. That would be now like a community recreation. I think that's the intent of what the city commission has for that. You know, some kind of passive recreation or something like that. And then basically, those were a lot of the changes that I proposed. So now it's just coming back for your review and discussion and any changes and alterations that you would suggest.
Scott?
unique thing, but basically the Great Lakes Energy parking lot is still in the Evangeline Township.
Okay.
And Evangeline?
Yep.
Not Wilson or?
No.
Wow.
Is there, I mean, any way to fix that? Like, or do they have?
You would have to annex it, and that was, you know, talked about with the owners of the property, and they didn't want to do that, so the city had no desire to do it. You know,
gotcha.
Okay, one, I was the one who brought up the mixed-use district, so I'll kind of clarify some of my thoughts on that. When I'm looking at this map and I go through the various areas, I find a substantial amount of very nice residential properties within the professional office, and actually a little bit of this core area, if you look at Main Street.
Yes.
The south side of Main Street there. So it's when you look at the purpose of the professional office district, yes, it allows residential, but the purpose is designed to accommodate uses such as office professional services, which can serve as a transitional area between residential and commercial. And then the single family dwellings are listed, you know, way at the bottom, item H. When you portray it, maybe it's just a change of name. Mixed use means, yes, you can be residential or you can be commercial. What this tells somebody who's living, say, on State Street, within the professional office area or on River Street or whatever, is that, yeah, the city wants this to become a professional office. No, there's beautiful homes there that once they're maintained. So I think the mixed use designation more accurately portrays what we want to have. And I think we need to look closely at some of the areas, like I said, Main, south side of Main there, across from Bar and Lumber, there's some homes that just recently been updated, as well as other homes there. And look at some of these other areas, such as up State Street a little bit more. And, you know, there's an area that has the Farm Bureau and
the electrician.
Electrician that backs up to the ball field and things like that. And you look at that area and the conservation district office is, you know, just off the corner of that.
Yep, on East Street.
Yeah, on East Street. So I think we can take a little bit closer look at this, what we want to have as this kind of hybrid mixed use where you have homes and businesses, low intensity businesses, right next to them, but the homes are welcome.
But Larry, just curious, are you saying that somebody who is looking at property in these locations are going to say, well, I don't want to do that because it's going to turn into a professional office at some point? Or can you look at it from the opposite way of, I'm a professional, I'm looking for an office space within the town, I'm going to look for something specific? Or are you saying that just the mixed use, we can make the whole map mixed use?
Well, I'm saying these are designated areas where residential and commercial coexist.
Mm-hmm.
And it can go either way.
Right.
You know, and once you buy into there, you recognize it that, you know, that guy next door, maybe we rescind the 500 feet between bed and breakfast within these areas, that they are known to be somewhat mix of commercial and residential. You can have a doctor's office, you can have a business out of your home that's low intensity type of thing. And people know this moving in, but people also know that, you know, it can be residential and it can be protected as residential.
Mr. Chairman, can I share a thought?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I agree in large part with what Larry's saying, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, and I apologize if I've repeated anything that came up in the last meeting I wasn't here, but I always think back to the way it looks when you come into Charlotte, especially from the south side of town. And, you know, that's like your gateway into town when you're coming from the Walloon area. And I'm not saying I want to push residents out and have a bunch of businesses there, but if you have an older home that, you know, a business could... I mean, I remember, it couldn't have been that long ago, we had the father and son professional finance managers that wanted to buy that whole building on the corner and set up shop there. And that's exactly the kind of concept I'm thinking of. So, but then again, I also, you know, if somebody wants to own their home and live in their home there, I don't have a problem with that. But I think if somebody wants to sell their home and there's a business that can take it over and fix the house up and just kind of give us that gateway into town that really projects everything that we're trying to be when you're coming in like that. I mean, let's be honest, there's two major ways to come into town, and that's one of them. And so, and while I've got the floor real quick, I would like to ask, Scott, on your map, where those baseball fields are right now is in the yellow. Who owns those fields, those two baseball fields back there in the Lily Clays?
That's a error in the map. That should be CR.
Okay, I don't care. Yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. But so my point being is that I think that would be a huge asset if we could even just kind of take it just up. I mean, is that Jefferson? What street is that? Right?
North Street and Jefferson. I think.
Between
just kind of where the church and Ed's Electric and Ed's Electric.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of extend it just to there. You know, we don't need to get out into the rural districts or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But I just feel like that's when you really feel like you're getting into town, because you just pass Rotary and bam, there you are.
But what you're saying is that within that district, you want it to be
a mixed use.
Labeled as mixed use?
Yeah. Yeah. That would be my
recommendation. So what I'm hearing is that, you know, the professional office is what
they're
talking about.
Yes.
Probably equates to kind of the mixed use concept
we're
talking about.
Right.
With the allowed uses that are there currently. I think.
I mean, there's already some places.
Right. So to implement that change, you probably need to do two things. One, your future land use map category for professional office, you know, you'd probably change that to mixed use district. And then design it where you want that to be. And then the ordinance, you know, you probably look at the professional office district.
Right.
And perhaps reword the purpose. You know, the uses in it are probably pretty much what you're anticipating. And then kind of clarify, maybe even change the name to mix up use as opposed to professional office. So it's kind of semantics a little bit, but that's how you basically accommodate that.
That would make sense.
I agree. But again, looking at, you know, some of the areas within the core is as well, potentially, you know, like say the south side of Main Street there between Boyne Avenue and East Street, that type of area. I mean, there are little pockets that within the downtown that I think are very, very applicable.
Right, and those are currently zoned central business districts. So that to put those on the map, the future land use map as a professional office would be, you know, decreasing the intensity of those uses pretty significantly.
Right.
Central business district. So is that the direction that you really want to go, or is that downtown core, you know, visualized and built out to provide those, you know, services in the area?
Well, I see the downtown core expanding out Lake Street. You know, where you've got, you know, general commercial, that's a logical expansion. But I have one question. You've got City Hall, the community recreation, and more community recreation by the open space. Where's Honeywell?
Right here. This.
You're missing it.
No, it's right here. That big blue area. That's Honeywell.
It says community service.
That's what the master plan has it for right now.
Okay. On the old one, but on the new one, it's missing.
Marina District. No.
You're looking at two different. I'm what you
two different maps.
The future land use map.
Right.
Honeywell's not on it.
Right, because we want to eventually have not be Honeywell anymore.
Okay.
In the future, if the opportunity arrives, we've talked about trying to take that property and continue in the open space all the way to City Hall.
So
Honeywell is on there. On the map that's in front of you, the City Hall is shown as green. I changed that to blue to more.
Right.
That would reflect.
And there are two maps. There's one that's the future land use map, and there's one that's the actual zoning.
Right in front of me.
Right.
So that Honeywell's not changed. It's still community services on the future land.
So what you're saying is if Honeywell vacates, the zoning will change?
No. The future land use map supports changing the zoning.
Yeah, it's a hope. The future land use map is what we'd like to see.
Right.
Kind of a vision.
So we're saying that we want it to come.
So the scenario is if Honeywell ever vacates that property, the intent would to have it as a community service kind of use in the future.
Scott,
Brian.
Okay.
No.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
One more question. A multifamily off of East Street on the river?
No, that was incorrect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's community service.
I mean,
I have a number of files, and sometimes they get.
Because that's the hotel right now, isn't it?
No.
Oh, that's DTE's property.
Yeah, that's DTE. That's basically a utility.
Okay, well, that is the master plan, or the future land use community recreation for that piece?
Right now, it's community service for that.
Community service, okay.
So.
Really great stuff for a hotel.
Well, I think the Honeywell Annex would be the perfect spot for the hotel. Across the street.
So one of the things that we were talking about is possibly seeing what this would look like with professional office being changed to
creating a mixed use district and limiting the professional office and the medical.
And was the suggestion to expand that up State Street?
I would like to see it expanded up State Street a ways, at least to where that the church is, that intersection there, would be my recommendation.
That's a couple of lots?
Or even out to Rotary Park, because you've got that space next to, you've got the Boyne Sprinkler Company, sure. And you've got the space next to the Free Clinic.
Summer Tree's got a place out there.
Yeah, and so probably out to the far side of Rotary Park.
That would basically be city limits, wouldn't it, Scott?
No, the city limits
goes
over there.
City limits goes past that.
Oh, almost to State Street.
That's where the sign is.
Almost to State Street. Yeah.
Sorry.
So how would that affect the bed and breakfast proposal that we just heard?
It wouldn't affect it at all.
No.
The change it to professional office regulations are in the general standards, and it's applicable to all districts, so
okay.
Yeah, where the application is.
If they call it Airbnb.
Right.
Man. But back to my comments, I think I'm a little confused, because I think we're really close. Aren't we kind of saying, isn't Larry kind of saying professional office does combine it with general commercial and so we're taking three districts and kind of making
we're not
one.
Not general commercial.
Not general commercial.
I don't mean general commercial. Transition. I thought we were doing professional office and medical office.
Yes.
Yeah, professional and medical, and then taking portions of the core and turning them into professional, into mixed use that are less intense.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was that you wanted to have professional office, medical, and TRP. And the, I'm sorry, the high density residential all being one mixed use.
What was the last one you talked about?
High density residential, the yellow.
The existing?
No, I mean, I'm just saying taking portions out of the high density residential where there are businesses existing and they're in transitional zones. You know, close to the downtown.
Okay.
And then, so it'd be, I mean, this needs to be looked at, you know, almost block by block. That's what I'm saying, that Main Street south of...
The only thing I do want to mention, though, is that we don't want to have our future, we don't have to have our future land use map reflect what's already there.
I understand.
But what you're saying is that in the future, you'd like to continue that one way. That's your suggestion.
I would like to have everybody feel that there's a flexibility to go either business, like business or residential in these areas.
Yes.
And concentrate growth along Lake Street.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Along State Street, are we considering just frontage? In other words, just the lots that adjoin State Street? You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question, because then, let's say the corner of East and Lake would be the bed and breakfast that she's lived in. Then there's an alley, and then there's the next house where Mastins live.
Yeah.
Would that be part of this one block? It's an alley that separates it. So is it only on State Street frontage, or is it a block?
We can make whatever we want.
Right.
Well, yeah. That's the thing, is we've got flexibility. And sure. I think everyone needs to kind of go into these areas and kind of get an idea of what you want it to be.
It would seem like only the State Street frontage would make the most sense.
Yeah, I concur.
Because we're trying to gear this type of business on main arteries.
Right.
And when you're taking the whole block that's bordering another street,
right,
that's not a main artery.
Agreed.
Right.
Because I don't think we want to encroach on residential when residential is already enough of an issue.
Yeah, exactly.
As it is.
But, I mean, if somebody can have a home business in their home and it's a permitted use along State Street, that seems like it would make that property more marketable and yet still maintain the residential aspect.
Dr. Huffer is a perfect example.
Yeah. I mean, you want to have a beauty shop in your house. You don't have to have a special use permit then, because it's a permitted use if you live along that road. Or like Ron Mills, when he wanted to do the little house at the corner. He had another house along there, and I mean, he's only bringing in one or two clients at a time. And if it's a very low impact type of business, which is what is talked about in here, right? It would seem like that would be a good suggestion.
Agreed.
I mean, we can look at Boyne Avenue also. You got the greenhouse along here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you said earlier you're looking at a lot of streets. What about right here? You got the dentist's office, the medical office. Why not North Street? Turn right. Why not Park Street? I'm right down to Party Bank. Why not? It's almost every block encompasses the core district.
You've already got that Park Street area.
Yeah, that's
pretty
CBD.
So that's already included.
You got most of a lot of Park Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the street names on some.
I know. It would sure be helpful if this was big enough to have street names.
Look too cluttered for it.
That would be my cheat sheet. All right.
So at this point, we'd like to see what it looked like with some mixed use.
Yeah.
And then everything along State Street.
I'd like to see that, yes, please.
Yep.
All right, so what I'm hearing is to eliminate the future land use category for medical and professional and combine those into a mixed use district.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's good.
And then extend it down State Street.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I think we need to have further discussion about the central business district that the core downtown, which currently is on the central business district, to change that to mixed use. That's a significant downgrade.
Right.
What those current uses are.
Right.
Well,
I'm seeing, though, is on the current zoning map, like I said, the south side of Main is not central business district, but yet it's core on the future land use.
Yeah, the south side of Main, so right there, that area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's, so you're saying mixed use for that area?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that makes sense.
Rather than core business. Yeah,
right.
Extend where they got the, that's where the school administrative area is right now.
Right, CSA Green, CSA, that's it. I do have one concern about spreading the mixed use past Rotary, just because the lot sizes are so big. What is the biggest commercial building that can be put on one of those? I mean, do we want?
Well, I thought it was up to Rotary.
Yeah, just.
So it's probably not being on.
Not going past.
But to the far side of the Rotary Park. So that it would still take in the.
Oh, okay, yep, the irrigation and stuff.
Yeah.
Gotcha, all right.
But not past Rotary Park.
Thank you.
Although there are some businesses, there's the dentist office out there and a plumbing company out there.
Right, but then again, we're having, we need to change this to what's already there.
Yeah.
For what we would like to see.
Right, right.
But I agree.
But what we're saying is we'd like to see more options and transitions down State Street from Rotary Park.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yes.
Okay. All right, Scott, you got that?
Yeah, you got it.
All right.
We're going to have to go through this a couple more times before we get.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you very much for that. Right. Any other questions before we move on?
Thank you.
Awesome. Move on to the plan unit development appointment. What is
it? As you recall, last month we reviewed the draft plan unit development residential overlay. So this is basically the same thing we saw last month. Steve Schnell, with his time to look at it, was joining us tonight, and he gave some comments on his thoughts. And so this is a pretty significant change, and so I would suggest that perhaps we go to the City Commission prior to having a public hearing and going through that formal amendment process to kind of get some feedback from them just to see where they're at with it. I prefer not to surprise them with anything and have their input prior to going through the process to see if they're supportive or have any suggestions for changes that they like to see. So,
yeah.
Steve wants to chime in.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Steve Schnell from Housing North on the Shelby County Housing Authority Program Director. And I want to show my support for this amendment because it's really a terrific way to add some opportunities for people to come in and create unique and additional housing units in their community, which is obviously much needed. I think the added flexibility that you're creating with this, I assume deleting the old PUD, unused PUD amendment that was a lot of people did back in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was well-intentioned, but it just wasn't used very often. I think the way that you're amending it here and the work that Scott's done on this is really excellent because it's you're shrinking the minimum lot sizes lot area per dwelling unit. And when you run through some of the scenarios for some of the properties that are available, along with the protections that you have in there too, to make sure that it's compatible with the work residential, it creates some real terrific housing opportunities. Higher density in an area that has more proximity, when you're in the city, one city, and you're closer to your amenities, that makes a huge difference. And to add some of that higher density, especially with home prices going up and lot prices going up, you're going to create a more attainable housing in your community.
So what would this be replacing again? What article is it?
I 18, the open space community option. This article has only been used twice that I know of, and one was the Maddie Lane development, the other was Harbor Heights. I wouldn't consider either of those, you know, overwhelmingly successful. I think there's better opportunities there, so to perhaps, you know, replace this article with something that would accommodate better uses, I think is a good option.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the right line, but I guess I don't.
Article 18.
Hoops and paperwork and stuff like that to accommodate that for a very little room.
It had a lot of procedures, a lot of requirements, and very little incentive, and the end product was not there.
And this would give us a lot more flexibility to utilize that in different projects, right?
And a lot more flexibility, you know, a lot more protections. This, you know, there's some written into it. There's a public hearing requirement for a preliminary plan and a final plan, so there's sufficient opportunity for a lot of community input to ever this is applied. So I think it's a great use in regards to your flexibility and how you can hopefully promote residential development.
I guess, Scott, on the first place, I'm not necessarily in favor of this for the traditional residential area. That seems to be platted pretty well. They're minimum size lots in most cases. You know, 50, 60 foot wide lots. The rural estate district, perhaps, but a lot of people live out there because they want to be in a rural estate.
But they're in the city, though.
But they're
they are in the city, but I think the traditional is got some fairly small lot sizes typically.
True, but what the other aspect of what this does, it lets you manipulate the dwelling size as well. So you're not hindered by the minimum width and minimum square footage for dwellings. That is the function of this overlay, where you could have that flexibility to have some creative housing developed that would not be allowed typically in the TRD.
Right, and I remember Tom, you had mentioned that there was a piece of property, was it towards Avalanche? It's really not buildable within the zoning, but if you had some more, I mean, it's a big lot. It's just skinny.
But yeah, that was just an example of a TRD lot that was a beautiful lot in your neighborhood, the big walnut tree. And with this, you could actually maybe get creative and get four units rather than one. So it's increasing density, increasing housing opportunities, but it still has to go through so many checks and balances that you're not just going to put up a wall and make the neighbors uncomfortable with what you're putting in there. It's going to go through the proper checks and balances. So maybe you could create. But there was also, in reference to that, isn't there a minimum size? I read that somewhere.
Yeah. It's 10,000 square feet for the lot has to be. And then it says that 3,000 square feet under, back further, under...
Right, for the TRD, you can have down to a 3,000 square foot
right.
per unit density. So
yeah.
10,000 square foot, you could have three.
You could have triplex. And then I have a question. It says a unified control, and it says under single ownership. So let's say you created a triplex. Would then that have to be rental, or could it be condo ownership?
I think we're talking about the property at application, and then once it's developed, those can be sold individually or rented.
Okay, so when you propose it, it has to be under single.
Right.
And then after that, it could be a condo and then have three separate owners.
Right.
Okay, that was my question.
In an earlier memo, it was from a couple of meetings ago, I think I sent around the map, and to Commissioner Jukes' question about lot size. There's actually, I did a search of the property, the parcels in the city for those that are 15,000 square feet or more, just to look at a larger, much larger lot. And there are quite a few, and I can show you the image if you like, but there are quite a few lots. Actually, you'd be surprised, within a lot of the blocks, there are multiple properties that are 15,000 square feet or more. It's surprising when you just see the house and you're walking down the street to think that there's that many in the area that there are. So you'd have quite a few eligible properties for that.
I think what you're saying, the minimum is 3,000 square feet.
Yes. That's the minimum.
And you can put how many units on 3,000 square foot lot?
One.
Just one.
But the minimum application size is 10,000 square feet.
Right.
So 3,000 is typical, what, 50 by 60 lot?
Yeah.
Jim, you got a question?
No.
Oh, sorry. No, I think you did a really good job, Scott. Like how this is set up. So this would be it would be a recommendation to the city commission.
Well, I guess I'm just asking that question to you, how to move forward.
Yeah, I absolutely want the city commission to be involved before it comes back to us. Just to make sure we're all on the same page.
Yes. Okay, so I will work with the city manager and see if we can schedule a time to be on our agenda. And I'll let everyone know. Come into that meeting to talk about this ordinance, so I'll keep you apprised of what happens.
All right. Any other questions? Yeah. You good? Staff report?
As you can see, the buildings are beginning to be demolished for the loft on Lake Street. Still no construction schedule for that. Does the demolition cleanup is happening now. So that hopefully will be done in the next few weeks here. And then I haven't got any word of when they're going to move forward with construction. I think they're still able to do their financing plan. It may have to come back to this city and this planning commission. As there is a time limit from approval to the zoning permit, that has been exceeded. So I would see that I'd probably have to come back to reaffirm the previous approval.
Okay.
A lot of construction going on. Jervis Webb's moving ahead.
Holy cow.
Fast.
Yeah, they're pouring foundation.
Well, it's a big project. It's still going to take a long time.
Yeah.
Summer of next year, I heard.
June 22 was when they were proposing.
What's the boat rental building that they're...
Yeah, what is that?
Why, and it's going over here.
Yeah, they're just going to barge it over when they get it finished.
Is that to replace the existing building, or are there going to be two buildings?
I believe it's replacing it. It's kind of outside. Our authority ends at the waterfront.
Yeah. Oh, I noticed it on Floats.
Yeah.
And so that's for the boat rental business?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got some phone calls.
Yeah, I've been wondering what it is.
And is that
okay. Good in the order?
Well, I brought it up in an email, and I just suggested that we have a future agenda item to discuss the times of our meeting, the starting time of our meetings.
Okay.
Someone online had suggested that 5 o'clock was not very friendly to people who were working people. And I think there might even be a few people here who work out of town and have to get down here by 5 o'clock. I don't think we can discuss it today. My request is just to put it on the next agenda.
I think that's a great idea.
As you know, the calendar is adopted annually, so you'll just be reviewing reviewing the adopted calendar and talking to Justin to
possibly updating.
Okay, so
would now be an appropriate time to put a counter discussion on that? Or?
Well, you put it as an item on the agenda, then you have a discussion about it.
Yeah, both sides of it.
But before we go through the process of putting on making an agenda item, would it be appropriate for me to say why or why not I would not want that to be an agenda item, or just wait?
Well, it's an agenda item every year. We have to adopt your calendar and that discussion happens. So I guess you want to wait until then or do it now. That's usually kind of my method.
Either one.
Yeah.
But to make it an agenda item, Jim needs more support from all of us, correct? Is that the way you interpret that?
Yeah. The chairman can make the agenda item for, I think it's two or three commission members can request that agenda item.
Well, I think it's appropriate for me then to say that so that we can come to a consensus of whether you want to make it a future agenda item. I'm just pointing out that I've been on this board for 32 years and it's always been the third Monday at 5 o'clock. With that being said, city commission meetings are at different times, 7 o'clock at noon. Parks and Rec is at 6. County commission meetings are at 9:30 a.m. on Wednesday. School board meetings are 7 o'clock. The meetings are all over the place so that you do have options to come and go to the meetings that you pick. My second point would be that you say more people could come to work. Well, let's look at 300 people at Lexmark get out at 3:30. 200 people at Honeywell get out at 3:30. The schools with 200 employees get out at 3:30. So many people are working from Zoom now that I just think that it's more important to be consistent. And people will show up to meetings, like I said, all over the place. There's different meeting times. And they'll show up at meetings if they are interested. And then my last point would be, I would argue that 5 o'clock is great because people want to be home by 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock because of homework, dinner time, t-ball games, basketball games, softball games, and so on and so forth. With respect to you two, having to get here from Petoskey and work, I respect that, but once a month you make the appropriation plan to be here. But I'm just saying, and I guess my last one would be, I think before changing the meeting, I'd want to see data. Show me the data. If you change the meeting to 5:30, then more people would come. I don't think we have that data.
As a person who made the suggestion, I don't have an opinion on it. It just was brought up, and I thought we could discuss it. And I agree. There are lots of reasons for.
Not bad comments. Just as the chair nodding in support here, I think that we should have it on the next agenda.
Okay.
Just as a discussion item to talk about.
Okay.
I mean, if nothing comes of it, that's fine. At least we give time to talk.
Okay. So,
fair enough.
Thank you. Any else?
All right. I would make a motion to adjourn.
I have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I'll see you guys after July 19th.
All right.
21.